You're listening to podcasts from the Congressional Internet Caucus Advisory Committee, www.netcaucus.org.
I'm Wendy Wiggin. I'm from EDUCAUSE, and I was very glad that Tim Lorden and Rick Zimmerman asked me to help organize these sessions today. We have two sessions, one on broadband adoption and one on net neutrality. And the way forward on both of these issues demands that we garner the efforts of the best and the brightest of our communications policy community. I have the pleasure of introducing one of those. I am very envious of her biography and can only imagine where her career will take her. But I think for now we are very fortunate to have someone with her experience, both in the private sector and at the NTIA, that will help us meld what we've learned and what we will soon learn from the BTOP and the BIP programs and use it to inform a long-term national broadband policy. In the spirit of the bipartisanship that the Internet Caucus represents, the State of the Net always strives to be as bipartisan as possible, I am pleased to introduce FCC Commissioner Meredith Atwell Baker.
Okay, that was terrific, and I appreciate Commissioner Copps. That was a great talk. I took notes, as always. It's a joy to be able to work every day with him. It really is a treat. And thank you to Tim. As always, you have put together a terrific State of the Net. You've got a great schedule every year, and this year doesn't disappoint. So way to go. And again, as you mentioned, thank you so much for that kind introduction. But this is really an event that brings out both sides of the issues, and so I hope to do some of that here today. I noticed, we're the kickoff for the kickoff of the State of the Net. So here we go. I want to use my time today to kind of make some comments on your panels that you're going to have here this afternoon. You've got some great folks who are going to give you a lot of insight, and I'll just kind of tell you where I'm coming from and sort of procedurally where we are at the Commission as well. As you are undoubtedly aware, we are. February 17th is an auspicious date, so we've pushed off the broadband plan until March 17th. That's a joke because of the digital television transition, for those of you who don't know. But see, the Recovery Act really put us into this place where we have an ambitious goal and we have an aggressive timeline, and Congress told us to do this job where we are supposed to get every American access to broadband capability. But not only are we supposed to do that, we also must develop deployment and adoption, as well as look at a broad array of national purposes, from civic participation to energy independence to job creation. A huge job, and one which the Commission has done, taken kind of the biggest bite that you could in looking at all of those issues. So most of these issues fall somewhat within the traditional scope of the FCC, but a lot of them do not. And I think that's one of the reasons for the delay, was sort of to visit with our companions in the other parts of the federal government to make sure that they were ready for some of the recommendations we were going to roll out. Anyway, it's a big job, even if we had all the time in the world to do it. But I just have to commend Chairman Jenikowski that the Commission has just really embraced this transparency, and we have really encouraged broad participation to develop a really ample record as to where we should go with this. I think we heard at the last commission, I may have this wrong, 69,000 pages on the record. We have now, we've included responses to the notice of inquiry, 30 public notices, 36 staff workshops. I think we're going to get a workshop czar. 9 field hearings, and a blog for the very first time as part of the record, which I think is actually really important. I applaud the efforts of the Federal Communications Commission to actually come into the 21st century and to use new communications media to actually facilitate civic participation. So it's been a great joy to be a part of, really a great learning experience. I look forward to the plan's recommendations in all of these areas that are outlined by Congress, but I wanted to highlight just a couple of them for you guys as we move forward that are kind of important to me. First, I really think that universal service and intercarrier compensation reform will be critical to achieving broadband for all Americans. Untangling these issues really has been perplexing the Commission for decades, maybe. The historic questions of really how do we ensure universal service, promote competition, and remove implicit subsidies at the same time were hard enough. But now we actually have to ensure universal broadband for all Americans. How are we going to do that? I firmly believe that following the national broadband, we are going to have an open window of opportunity to finally address these thorny issues. A window sort of when the political and the economic and all of the social stars have aligned for real reform. Hard choices are going to have to be made, and not all vested interests are going to be satisfied, but I believe that we must repurpose the more than $7 billion Universal Service Fund for the broadband era. As Commissioner Copps mentioned, we're at a time where broadband is critical infrastructure, so we need to make sure that all Americans have access to it. The second area is an area that's really kind of just a particular interest to me, which is spectrum policy. Some of the data shows that less than 15% of Americans go online today with mobile broadband. However, in the critical age group of 18 to 29, 93% of them access the internet via mobile means. So you can see where this trend is going. And the United States really needs a comprehensive approach to spectrum policy that expands upon the flexible and market-oriented policies that facilitate the spectrum access and wireless innovation and competition. I think our policy should have two overarching objectives: make the best use of the spectrum that is available today and to get as much additional spectrum to the market as possible to meet the current and the future demands of these wireless consumers. A spectrum framework must include a comprehensive inventory and a user-friendly database of how the government and the industry use the spectrum today. I think we need a re-examination of some of our rules to allow for more flexibility and for secondary markets, and I think we need to update our existing allocations and our service rules. I think the spectrum policy should be a central part of the broadband plan, and wireless is becoming a primary point of access for the internet. And I really, I think we're going to, the broadband plan is going to launch us into sort of a spectrum strategic plan, and I'm looking forward to working on that. Now, the other proceeding that gets a lot of headlines is the open internet proceeding, often referred to, obviously, as net neutrality. Even if you haven't been following this proceeding closely, it's probably been following you as you watch the television and the radio and maybe the buses. And many of you maybe have actually ironically received mailings, snail mail, on the impact of this proceeding on the future of broadband. Now, in broad terms, this notice asks whether the FCC should impose rules on network operators about whether and how they manage traffic on their networks. Once again, I have to applaud the efforts of Chairman Jinakowski to adopt a very inclusive and a fact-driven process. Now, it's America. That said, on the substance, I have some serious reservations about moving forward on the course that's set out in the notice. I support the open internet and the free flow of lawful content over the internet, and I do not think that we can tolerate any anti-competitive conduct that harms consumers. It's not clear to me, however, that there is a systematic failure that warrants governmental intervention in the market to achieve these goals. I have grave concerns about net neutrality regulation that risks distorting the market and creating effects that we cannot predict. Most importantly, I'm worried that a shift in regulatory direction at this stage could be a detriment to the investment in broadband and innovation on the internet. Now, although some Americans remain unserved, and those gaps must be addressed by our national broadband plan and commission policy, our broadband industry has deployed broadband to about 90% of U.S. households. Under prudent deregulatory policies that have created powerful incentives for investment and innovation to the benefit of American consumers. But despite my reservations, I remain open to listening and to learning about the views of all sides in this net neutrality debate. This has been brought into really clear focus on our workshops recently on innovation and transparency. And so what I have learned so far in participating in these workshops is while there's broad agreement on the need to keep the internet open, there certainly is a divergence of views on the best way to do that. I have found that there's no agreed definition of net neutrality, and different people often end up talking past one another because They don't have a shared concept of what we mean by network neutrality. There seems to be broad consensus that networks must be managed to control spam and to prevent unlawful content. But there's not as much agreement as I would like to see about the role of network operators in protecting intellectual property on the internet. There is broad agreement that consumers should be empowered to control their internet experience and to benefit consumers should, and the benefit of consumers should be the focus of any rules that we may adopt. And perhaps most surprisingly to me, while the most extreme net neutrality advocates want to see a network of heavily regulated dumb pipes where innovation is isolated at the edge, many recognize that quality of service can be advantageous, even necessary for consumers. So even though some advocates fear theoretical abuses, they concede that the internet experience today wouldn't be what it is without network management by our network operators. And I think particularly promising is the area of in the area of potential consensus is transparency. To me, transparency is what the open internet is all about. Done right, transparency could obviate the need for other regulations of network management altogether by empowering consumers with information to make more informed choices about broadband. Now, a brief note for all the lawyers in the room, which is a lot, I see. Hanging over all of this discussion really is the question of the FCC's jurisdiction. The D.C. Circuit Court has a case before it that addresses the Commission's legal authority over broadband services. The Court's action may undermine the legal basis for potential Commission action on the open internet notice. I believe we should wait to see what the Court says about our authority before pressing forward. Further, I do not believe that we should entertain calls to reclassify broadband service as a heavily regulated Title II service to try to shoehorn these offerings within our known jurisdiction. Since 2002, the Commission has pursued a light regulatory touch with regard to broadband internet access services under Title I. This approach has reduced regulation and created incentives for investment, which has fostered over $100 billion in broadband investment. We really should not revisit that decision now. So with that, I'll wrap up because you'll have some exciting panels. As we move forward with the Commission's broadband agenda this year, we really must get these policies right because they are critical for the future of the internet ecosystem, for broadband for all Americans, and for our nation's economy. So I thank you for having me here today, and I think we probably don't have time for questions. So have a great conference.